Blog Talk Radio.
Good evening and welcome to the Empowerment Place. This is Valerie Burrell, your host for tonight. Grateful and thankful to God for another time of teaching and impartation in the Word of God. Our topic this evening, thank you, Lord. Our topic this evening is, do you investigate and invest in the soil? Do you investigate and invest in the soil? How many of you know anything about agriculture? Agriculture? I know a little bit about agriculture. And this topic sort of intrigued me because we don't talk a lot about evangelism. We've not talked a lot about evangelism. But we have to understand that evangelism is also a great aspect of the kingdom and building God's kingdom. So we're going to talk about that a little bit tonight. Do you investigate and invest in the soil? So, Father, we thank you. Holy Governor, we acknowledge you as our chief teacher on tonight. We thank you for what you will reveal, for what you will speak to us and through us. We ask now that your anointing would rule in our midst, that you would have your way. We thank you for it, and we count it done in Jesus' name. Amen, amen. I'm grateful for my husband being with me on tonight, Akash Obedi, and thankfully he will have something to share in this conversation. Regarding the investigating and investing in the soul. Our main scripture tonight comes from 1 Corinthians 3:6. And for those who are on the phone line, amen, we invite you to join us on the call. Press 1 and we will bring you into the dialogue. I've got some agriculture specialists on the line on tonight, so I certainly would love to hear from you. But 1 Corinthians 3:6 reads this way. I have planted, Apollos watered, but God gave the increase. Again, I have planted, Apollos watered, but God gave the increase. And I have to ask what that scripture means to you, because we often use that in conversations, even outside of evangelism, but of course understanding that that's the root of it. But in building God's kingdom, we talk about the protocols and the strategies that would be released to individuals, and often it does not appear to be making a difference. We're not seeing manifestation of what we've released. We're not seeing the change that we desire, and we come back to this scripture understanding that we may plant the seed, but it may be for another ministry, another person, something, someone different to come with additional nutrients for that seed. But ultimately, God, the kingdom of God will be increased because of what we sowed. Because of what we sowed. When we talk about investigating and investing in the soil, again, when we look at agriculture, when we look at things, like I've got an individual on the line tonight, amen, that does very well with plants, which means you have to understand what type of soil to use with what type of seed, what type of, how much sunlight, and how much water, and what are the optimal conditions in order for that seed to come forth and manifest into the plant or the fruit that it's supposed to bring forth. And so when we look at that, because we are a people who are very diverse, we are a people with different ideas and different opinions. We as a people have different ideals. And I was speaking with an apostle earlier today who was making mention of how she's not judgmental. She understands that we are all God's people and we should all be treated the same. However, in that statement, as much as we use it, there are times that our actions don't align with that mindset. Our mindset, we don't judge. We treat everyone the same. But our actions speak to something differently. So, hon, because you always talk about, for God so loved the world, and how we should govern ourselves in that vein, can you talk a little bit about that when it comes to investigating and investing the soil, understanding that the soil is the individuals that we speak to when it comes to spreading the word?
If I may, just to Genesis, as we're talking about agriculture, it just takes me in remembrance of Genesis, where we talked about where it talks about the water and the Spirit of God hovering over the water. And then when we fast forward, we notice that Jesus beginning his teaching by the water, as he was even in the boat at on one occasion by the seaside. So with any soil, there's going to be water. There needs to be water so that they can produce. And so the Spirit of God was hovering over the water. And then again, Jesus preaching by the seaside for model to say, we need to be watering the soil and investigating that soil to make sure that we are pouring into it in the proper fashion. We, no matter where we go, you know, we are to pour into the men and women of God.
Now, I like that. I like what you said in that. But with that, when we're even before, well, even in investigating, when we investigate the soil, depending upon the type of individual, because the word says that some sowed into fertile ground, some sowed into rocky ground, some, you know, there was different type of soil. There are different types of people. We can run across some people whose soil has been conditioned with love, such that they're able and willing to receive the seed of the word that we desire to plant. There may be some that is rocky, and no matter how much water, how much love we pour into that person, it doesn't hold on to it because a rock is coarse and it's nothing to firm the foundation to receive the seed. So in those instances, because we do want to water individuals, we want to, as we in the soil, to give them the love that they need in order to receive a word from the Lord, in an instance that it's a rocky ground, what's the strategy for that?
Well, you know, as we even have traveled in the last few years, we've gone into different territories. And so just even having understanding that we live in a pretty rocky place right now. But there's in every region, there's soil, and it's different. I remember being in Oklahoma City, there's red clay. But they make use of that clay. They understand. So in essence, how we reach them is through greater truth. We will have to move some of those rocks so that there'll be some growth underneath of use anything as a hindrance. We have to know that, you know, in Scripture it tells us that we are fearfully and wonderfully made. No matter where we go in the world, we're going to be all led to live by kingdom principles.
Mm-hmm.
And so you've been to Africa several times, mm-hmm. ministering to people there. That's God's world, and we're to investigate what strategies we need so that we can invest in this all strategies, following through on what God would have us to do, and teaching people how to walk on that soil.
Okay. So I pull scripture, Matthew 13:23, and it reads this way, but still others received the seed that fell on good soil. They are those who hear the message and understand it. They produce a crop 100, 60, or 30 times more. That's from Matthew 13:23. Then we look at Matthew 13:1. You, like we were talking, he was out by the lake, and it reads, on that day after Jesus went out of the house, he sat by the lake. He sat by the Sea of Galilee. Large crowds gathered around him. So he got into a boat. He sat down in it. All the people stood on the shore. Then he told them many things using stories. And it reads this way. A farmer went out to plant his seeds. He scattered the seed on the ground. Some fell on a path. Birds came, and some seed fell on rocky places where there wasn't much soil. The plants came up quickly because the soil wasn't deep. When the sun came up, it burned the plants. They dried up because they had no roots. Other seed fell among thorns. The thorns grew up and crowded out the plants. Still other seed fell on good soil. It produced a crop 160 or 30 times more than that was planted. Those who have ears should listen and understand. So, again, here we are talking about how we investigate and invest in the soil. And when we look at these four types that they mentioned, some fell on a path, some fell on a rocky place, some fell amongst thorns, and then some fell in fertile soil. So, as ones who are investigating and investing, I'm asking you who are on our phone lines on tonight, when you recognize that one is a place where there are thorns, or a place where it is rocky, or a place that is on a path where the seed will be eaten by someone other than what the intent was for, when you discover that in your investigation, are you still willing to invest and sow the seed, or are you always looking for good ground? And I'd love some feedback. Dave, I'm going to pose that to you. What are your thoughts? When a seed is planted, if you look at an individual and you're able to discern, or you're feeling some pushback or anything of that nature to imply that they don't want to receive what it is that you're offering, what do you do? From your investigation, do you invest or do you walk away?
Well, I would definitely say I wouldn't walk away, because we have to be able to show in our walk, show in our talk, how you can see the kingdom. It says, seek first the kingdom. We must be able to show people how to see the kingdom. If they can't see the kingdom, then they're not going to be able to see the fruits thereof. And when we look at Mark 4, 1 through 20, and I'm not going to read it all, but, you know, Jesus is talking to the people, and he's talking in parable, and he gives these parables, and then he says in verse 11, unto you it is given to know the mystery of the kingdom of God, but unto them that are without, all these things are done in parables. That's talking about where the sower sowed in the places that weren't conducive to growth, where she had read in another chapter, Matthew's, in Mark, we read this same encounter. We will never fail when we are tapping into a kingdom mindset, and that's what we have to do to produce. We have to go to a different level, a different level. I think I read yesterday that Einstein said, problems are not solved at the same level that they are produced. So if you want to solve a problem, you have to go to the next level.
So you're saying that when you investigate and you are able to discern that the instrument that you are thinking about investing in is rocky ground.
I can simplify that. I can simplify that, because here's a situation. Y'all probably, some of your listeners probably heard me say this before. When I was about 14 years old, I used to watch Oral Roberts, and holding my stomach laughing, because he was making a statement, and he said, attack the lack. So whatever is lacking in the soil, you must attack it so you can refurbish it and get it back to God's original intent. So attacking the lack, if whatever is lacking, you have to determine strategies to be able to overcome. And that is how we tap into the kingdom and utilizing Holy Spirit. I know I keep saying that, but I can show you on many accounts where tapping into it produced some good results.
I get that. And so, you know, just based on what he just shared, when we do investigate and invest in the soil, there will be times that we have individuals that are different, in our opinion, defined different, different mindset, different culture, different. But because we are all his children, we're going to have to modify how we do what we do. Benny said earlier about, you know, when Jesus taught by the water and how there's a necessity to prepare the soil for the seed. That's what we determined from the investigation. But what we have to understand is that some ground won't need water. Some ground needs new soil. A rocky place needs an excavation where you pull out rocks and bring back dirt. The place where thorns, somebody got to get in there and find the root of those thorns and pull it up from the root to get that place where they have had a hardened heart, place where they're now pliable and willing to have a conversation and condition it such that as the thorns are pulled out and those roots are lifted, that the soil will begin to move. And then pouring love in, make that soil ready for an investment called a seed. Ah, dear Lord, dear Lord. Have you been, Prophet?
Good evening. How are you all this evening?
Wonderful, thank you.
Good. I guess I just have a question. I know you initially asked if there is a person, if there is ground that is rocky, once you've investigated and understand it, do you stay to invest in it or do you walk away? And it took me to, I guess, a conversation that we had had with understanding that not everyone that you interact with is assigned to you, and sometimes because of who you are, that soil may not want to receive you, but it may be open and receptive to having some excavation done by someone else. So I would say with having discernment and being able to look, because again, we have to understand as kingdom builders that if we're meeting a person where they are, because we see their potential does not necessarily mean that they see their own potential, and it does not mean that we do not continue to show them love and continue to pour into them, but maybe the focus needs to be redirected.
Amen.
That's what I'm getting.
I believe, too, is that depending upon where you are in your own walk and how you've been conditioned for the planting, everybody is not going to be in the same place. So, again, we're talking in the terms of agriculture. Someone who's a new farmhand is not going to know when to rotate crops, when one soil is ready for corn this year and tomatoes next year, and then is ready for lima beans the next year. When you're new and you're early on in understanding even spiritual agriculture, you're not going to know always what to do with the rocky places or with the places on the path or the places that are thorny because it's not there. And it's okay. And I think that's why it's important that this type of conversation is had, because we don't always have the answers.
Mm-hmm.
But we have to be willing to have the conversation. Amen?
Amen.
Amen. What are your thoughts, please?
I just know good conversation that to have. It's needed, but we'll talk about spiritual agriculture, pouring water, and how do we get people to the place that they need to be. Some people are on rocky ground, and they come to someone who they look to as a spiritual leader to be able to help them get to where they want to be. If we look at an example, a lot of times, and I'm not saying this is good or bad, but just an example, during Christmas, people may pour more into to say church, and then come Easter, you may see them not so many, because they had lost the understanding of the true meaning of even both of those things that we celebrate. We're talking about the birth and then the resurrection. But we have to be able to get people back to understanding what their original intent is, their purpose. And so we must invest in the soul so it don't get contaminated.
Amen, amen, amen. Amen. So we bless God. We bless God. We bless God for this dialogue, and I'm grateful for the conversation, because I think that this will probably set on each of us for a little bit, because if we're honest with ourselves, we don't always give everybody the same treatment. I know you were sharing with me, Benny, about how a gentleman that you work with, who's a minister, has tattoos. And he went to a church, and the church leaders pulled him aside and wanted to know if he had a weapon, because the man had tattoos, not knowing that this was a preacher, an anointed man of God. But they judged him, they prejudged him based on his outward appearance, not taking the time to discern who this man really was. They courted him out of the place, right? They asked for his knife. They asked for his knife, but there were men sitting in the church with guns, but they didn't have tattoos. And so, you know, the world perceived him as somebody with thorns, or someone with rocks, or someone who was on the path where the seed would not be received by the soil, when in fact he was good ground. So did they take the time to investigate? No. They made a decision based on a preconceived notion that because you have tattoos, you can't know God. You must not know God. You must not have a relationship. You're not operating in truth. Something is wrong with you. And it may not be that we look at people with tattoos. Certainly I don't, because I've got tattoos myself. I can't look at them if they have purple hair, blue hair, pink hair, or green. I can't make a decision based on the color of their skin, or whether I can pronounce their first name or last name. I have to recognize that purpose. We're all placed here with purpose. We've all been on our own path. Challenges, some great, some small. But we have to be willing to investigate. And based on what's revealed in the investigation, then we make an investment with God's love into those individuals, such that they're able to receive the word of God and grow to be that which God has called them to be. Amen. Honey, you want to pray us out, please?
Discuss some strategies, even some of the hindrance that we may have. And I'll investigate and invest in the soul, being able to replenish the spiritual agriculture that you have provided here in the earth realm. Father, we know that you are the one that leads, guides, and directs us. And as long as we can maintain our heart, our mind, we will be able to do the things you would have us to do. We thank you for all the listeners all over the world, because we know that it is written in John 3:16 that whosoever believeth will have everlasting life. And that's what we're here to do, is to be sure that we build the kingdom, not to regain the kingdom. We thank you for that. That you will continue to just increase the listeners, and we'll be able to touch the lives of the people, men and women of God, that listen to this broadcast. And we pray that those who listen will be able to spread the word of the good news of the kingdom as we move forward in the things you have us to do. And we pray these things in the name of Jesus. Amen.
We thank you so much for joining us this evening. We pray that this teaching has been a blessing to you as it has to us. We invite you to join us again on next week, next Sunday at 8 p.m. for another Relevant Kingdom teaching. If you have prayer, join us in prayer Monday through Friday, 5 o'clock a.m. You can find us on Facebook for more information, Valerie Burrell, that's spelled B-U-R-R-E-L-L, or my husband, Benny Burrell, or our page, The Empowerment Place, LLC, on Facebook. Until next week, we say we love you, and God loves you too. And in all things, do something to empower yourself daily. And once you've been empowered, take the responsibility to empower someone else. God bless and good night.